Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening today.
This is usually when I invite someone else to come up and read this morning's scripture. So I would like to invite Peter Little to come up and read this morning's scripture. Oh, hey, thanks, Peter. That's really kind of you. Yeah, no problem, Peter. Good job. Just don't mess it up, okay? I'll do my best. Hi, everyone. My name is Peter, and I get to read this morning's scripture for you. You know, I don't usually do this, but I think I want to invite you to do this morning. For those of you who are able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to be reading from John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and those texts will be on the screen so you can follow along, or maybe you just want to close your eyes and listen. Hear God's Word. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Friends, this is God's word for us to hear this morning. Amen. Okay, you can have a seat. I want to invite you back to the spring of 2000. Remember that Y2K didn't happen? You remember all that? I was in the San Francisco Bay Area. I had just graduated from university in New York, moved across the country, and was living in Oakland. Where I lived in Oakland in the year 2000 was directly behind a Kentucky Fried Chicken, like right behind an exhaust fan. Kentucky Fried Chicken, if I never have to have a piece of the Colonel's chicken ever again in my life, I'll be perfectly fine with that. As I looked out the freeway or the window of my apartment, the 24 freeway with all 12 of its lanes was banked towards me, kind of going around the apartment. I'm sure that if I wanted to, I could have thrown a rock over Kentucky Fried Chicken and hit the slow lane of Highway 24. So I was living in Oakland. I had begun connecting with the folks at First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley, a place that the Lord clearly had called me because at that time I was doing my best to avoid any Presbyterian church. But there I was. God had called me, not because I think there's something wrong with Presbyterians, I'm here, but because I had been engaged with Presbyterian organizations and churches before, and frankly, I just didn't want to get comfortable. Right? So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go. I was looking for a new church, and my only requirements were, do they preach the gospel? And I'd like for it not to be Presbyterian, because that's what I've been doing. So clearly, God called me to First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. I'd begun connecting there. I was in a life group, and I was growing as a disciple in leaps and bounds. I had begun meeting with a good friend of mine who's become a mentor, Pastor Tim Shaw. And I had no idea how big of an influence this man would have on my life. If you would have asked me in the year 2000 what my relationship with Tim Shaw would be like, I never could have told you what ensued between us as he just mentored me and was hugely responsible for God calling me into ministry. I'm going backpacking with him in Wyoming in about 6 weeks. Super excited about that. So I was connecting with Tim. I was connecting with a life group living in Oakland. I was working for a design and construction management firm at the time. I was a project manager, and it was very exciting as a pretty new college graduate. I was working on a $35 million county hospital in the city of Martinez, That was a lot of money back then. I guess you probably couldn't build a hospital for that these days. And the drive home from the construction site in Martinez to my Kentucky Fried Chicken penthouse in Oakland, the drive home, it meandered through a number of really beautiful parks. And so during that season in my life, I made it a habit to regularly stop in one of these parks and get my blanket and Bible out of the trunk of my 1987 Nissan hatchback and spend a little bit of time reading the Bible in the park. Okay, so far, admittedly, this story is pretty boring. There's like not really a lot going on, like whatever, it's sort of ordinary. But what happened in those parks when I was reading the book of Romans is anything but ordinary. It was extraordinary what God was doing in me, and quite frankly, I think I can say to me in those parks as I read Romans. The scriptures were coming alive to me in a way that they never had before. I was a relatively new Christian, maybe 2 or 3 years, and the Bible was jumping off the page. It was like God was screaming at me, not in a bad way, just like in a wonderful way. God was speaking so clearly to me in ways that I can only explain through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm confident that had I picked up the Bible a couple years earlier and started reading Romans, I would have just fallen asleep. They would have just been dead words on a page to me. But clearly, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in powerful ways. As I was reading passages like this, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith." Texts like Romans 3:10 and 11, "There's no one who is righteous, not even one. There's no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God." And then in verse 21 and 22, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and it's attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." For who? For all who believe. Romans 5:1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God." Doesn't that sound wonderful? "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand." This grace in which we stand. "And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." I kept reading in Romans 5, 6, and 8, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for us. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this." And this is what I heard. "While I was still a sinner, Christ died for you." Romans 7, "For I do not do the good that I want." Boy, I could relate to that. "But the evil I do not want is what I actually end up doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I have been rescued. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. If God is for us, friends, who could possibly be against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Are you with me here? Is this not unbelievably good? "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No! No, man, and all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. At this point, the Holy Spirit is just exploding in front of me as the words come alive. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And then in Romans 12, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The Holy Spirit was revealing Jesus Christ to me as I sat on a blanket reading the Bible somewhere in the Bay Area in the year 2000. The Holy Spirit was showing me over and over again in Romans how freaking amazing Jesus Christ is. When I was an undergraduate student at Whitworth University, I had the privilege of taking a number of Bible classes. They were required because Whitworth is a Christian university, but I was not a believer at that time. I took Dr. Roger Moorling's class on Mark's gospel, and I didn't learn a thing. I don't remember anything from that class. In fact, I wasn't even sure I took that class until many years later. I'm in conversations with Krista, who did take that class and other classes with Roger Moorling. And I didn't learn a thing. But the problem wasn't Dr. Moorling. The problem was me. I was closed. I was uninterested. The Holy Spirit was not alive in me. He was not living in me. He was not illuminating the beauty of Jesus Christ in my heart and in my mind. Without the Holy Spirit bearing witness to how good Jesus is, Mark's gospel was just a bunch of dead words on a page. Oh, how I wish I could go back and take that class with Dr. Roger Moorling. I had the chance to actually meet him and kind of get to know him through Krista a number of years later. And oh, how I wish I could retake his class, because I know it was a really, really good class. Okay, so the year is 2000. Y2K didn't happen. I'm working in Martinez. I've begun to get connected with First Pres Berkeley. Fast forward 4 years later. 4 years after my reading Romans in the Park, I had quit my job, my really good engineering job. I had met and married Krista at this point. Note, by the way, I did talk to her parents about how I was going to quit my really excellent job a month after I would ask her to marry me. And they were like, okay, that's fine. Do whatever you think is best. I had been on staff at First Pres Berkeley for 3 years, and now I was headed with Krista to Vancouver, BC, where I would spend the next 4 years in school learning how to critically engage with the Bible and a few other things. Although, interestingly, I never learned how to lead a church during a global pandemic. Would you believe that that was not part of the curriculum? Crazy. Hey, those privileged years of study were kind of like, for me, a lengthy and in-depth version of the Romans in the Park on the blanket reading experience that I had. The Holy Spirit continually made Jesus more and more beautiful to me. This is what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, "The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." That's what Jesus was talking about. The Holy Spirit will bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit will make me, Jesus, beautiful to you. The Holy Spirit spotlights Jesus. This is what he does. The Holy Spirit spotlights Jesus and says to us in our hearts, would you just look at him? Look at him. Look at how beautiful he is. Tanner wanted us to spend some time as a staff spotlighting volunteers. This was his idea. So Ken, you can either thank him or give him a hard time afterwards. It's a great idea. Said, you know, we really ought to spotlight our volunteers. We ought to shine the light on our volunteers because they are the heartbeat of ministry here. And so we've been inviting volunteers forward, and we've just been shining the spotlight on them and helping you to see more clearly who and what these volunteers are and what they're doing and what they've been up to, so that you can see how beautiful these people are and so that you can see how wonderful their service is in the name of Jesus. We want to thank them publicly and spotlight them. Because a lot of the ministry that these volunteers do is actually not in the spotlight. It's not in the limelight. It's behind the scenes. And unless we spotlight this service, you might not know it even happens. And this is kind of in a roundabout way what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus. The Holy Spirit invites Jesus up here to the platform and says, look at how amazing he is. Look at how beautiful he is. Isn't he wonderful? Look at what he's done. Look at what he's done for you and in you and to you. Look at what he's going to do. Look at him. Well, how do we do this? How do we participate with the Holy Spirit's spotlighting of Jesus? Well, I think, I'm convinced, I've sort of given my life to this reality that the Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus most clearly through the Scriptures. That the Bible is the way, primarily, the Holy Spirit highlights Jesus. When we read the Bible, what would otherwise simply be a string of words on a page, you know, what would otherwise be my experience of taking a class on the Gospel of Mark without the Holy Spirit's engagement, instead, these words come alive, and they speak to our hearts, revealing to us the beauty of Jesus Christ. Why does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit is in us, bearing witness to the beauty of Jesus Christ. This is why we have invited you to read through the whole Bible last year. This is why we've invited you this year to read through the New Testament. This is why we provide reading plans for you during special seasons like Lent leading up to Easter and Advent leading up to Christmas. Special reading plans for you to engage with the Scriptures, for you to read the Bible, because we want you to read the Bible. Why? Because we believe that when we read the Bible, when we have exposure to the good words on the page, the Holy Spirit spotlights Jesus for us, illuminates Jesus, and these words come alive. Maybe you also could have a blanket and a Bible reading experience in the park. Maybe God is prompting you, you know what? You just need some time. Would you grab a blanket or whatever, a chair and a Bible, go to the park and just spend 20 minutes reading the Word? I'm also convinced that the Holy Spirit bears witness about Jesus to us through the church, through one another. That Jesus speaks to us through our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why we invite you to participate in a life group, in a small community of believers who read the Scriptures together, who pray for one another, and who can illuminate Jesus for one another. We need each other. Sometimes I need you to remind me how good Jesus is because it isn't clear today. Sometimes we need one another to spotlight, to highlight the goodness of Jesus. Sometimes when we feel like we can't walk on our own, when we feel like we can't believe on our own, when we feel like we don't have enough faith on our own, we need the community of faith to hold us up. Say, you know what? I'll walk with you and for you for a little bit. All shine the light on Jesus so that you can hopefully see more clearly. Recently, I've been thinking about silence a lot. For many of you, there's not a lot of silence in life. History would suggest, however, that silence is one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. That God's voice really enjoys space and time. That we have to be intentional about seeking out some times of silence so that we can hear God's voice. Sometimes God speaks like yells at us. You know, not in a bad way, but sometimes God does get our attention by, as a friend would say, sort of hitting me in the head with a 2x4, waking me up. But often, God speaks to us in a still small voice. And when there are so many other voices screaming for our attention, it's very difficult to hear the voice of God. It's really difficult to hear the Holy Spirit spotlighting Jesus for us. And so we need to intentionally pursue silence. This week I'll be hanging out with Tanner and a bunch of students. There's going to be a lot of that time that is not silent. But I think there's going to be some pretty epic moments of silence where all we can hear is the chirping of the birds, the crackling of the fire, and where we're going to listen. And we're going to invite God to speak. Speak through Tanner. Speak through one another. Speak to us in the silence. You know, how often when you are entering into a moment of silence, do you turn on the TV or look at your phone? What should I look at now? Maybe I'm the only one that does that. But what would it look like to intentionally pursue silence? I'm not going to look at my phone. There's nothing going on right now. I'm going to take advantage of these 5 minutes of silence. Some of you maybe have a lot of silence, maybe more silence in your life than you would like. But I know that many of you struggle with silence because there's not enough of it. You know, Audrey Holcomb, many of you know, this is Jeff and Robin's daughter, Audrey. Audrey and I were pretty good friends. And so I asked her this week, she was in the office helping her mom, Robin, with some VBS stuff. And I asked her this week, I said, hey Audrey, hey pal, what is it about Jesus that you like so much? Like, why is Jesus so amazing to you? And she made me a list. 5 reasons why Jesus is amazing to me. It's coming. Here it comes. It will come. I believe in you, Ray. There it is. She made me a list. Here it is. 5 reasons why Jesus is amazing. She says Jesus heals people. That's amazing. So cool that her perspective is that Jesus is our healer. And then she said, number 2, he made us. That's pretty amazing. You know, he actually created us, breathed the breath of life into us. Also, he's our father. You know, we're still working with Audrey on her Trinitarian theology, but she's got the main point, right? Right? He's our father. And I was like, wait a minute, Audrey, I thought Jeff was your dad. She's like, yeah, but God is like all of our father. Like, oh, amazing. Good. He's our father. He's also in our hearts. No, actually, that's hearts. He's in our hearts. I was like, you're kidding me, Audrey. Are you serious? Jesus lives in your heart and in mine? She's like, yeah. Like, wow, that's amazing. And also, Jesus gave us life. That's my favorite one. You know, Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life abundant. Not just ordinary life, not just existence, not just like you're not dead yet kind of life, but life in abundance, true life, eternal life. Hey, the Holy Spirit, Zoe, right? Somebody said Zoe, right? That's right. Audrey, the Holy Spirit's been doing some work in Audrey's heart, obviously. The Holy Spirit has been bearing witness to the goodness and beauty of Jesus Christ, been showing her how wonderful and extraordinary Jesus is. And Audrey is a perfect example of both the Holy Spirit bearing witness about Jesus to her and also other people bearing witness about Jesus to her. What does Jesus say again about his disciples or to his disciples? It's in verse 27. Listen, he says, you also will bear witness. Right? Jesus has just said, look, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And when he does, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness about me. He's going to spotlight me and show you how amazing I am, says Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and says, and not just the Holy Spirit, but you also will bear witness about me. So not only does the Holy Spirit shine a light on Jesus for Audrey to see, but also Jesus' disciples shine a light on the beauty of Jesus so that Audrey can see more clearly that Jesus heals us, that Jesus made us, that Jesus is our Father, that Jesus lives in our hearts, that Jesus gave us the gift of life. You know, Audrey's teachers at our preschool shined the light on Jesus. They bore witness to the goodness of Jesus so that Audrey could see. Audrey's children's ministry leaders, Linda Lee, Ray Watkins, and some others, they shined the light on Jesus for Audrey to see. Audrey's grandma and grandpa, John and Cressa Flynn, shined the light on Jesus for Audrey to see. But by far, most significantly, Audrey's mom and dad, Jeff and Robin Holcomb, consistently are showing Audrey and Autumn and Benjamin how wonderful Jesus is. And it's not because Jeff and Robin are the world's best parents. It's not because they never make mistakes, or they never get confused, or they never have struggles. It's not that they're winning a gold medal in parenting. Not at all. That's not the point. The point is that Jeff and Robin love and trust Jesus, and they desire to love and trust Jesus even more, and they're being transformed into Christ's likeness through their love and trust of Jesus. Their priorities, their relationships, their rhythms of life, their values, it's all shining light on Jesus. And guess what? Audrey can see it. Audrey can see what's going on. She can see that, oh, Jesus is the one who gives us life. Jesus is the one who lives in my heart. Jesus is the one who heals. You also will bear witness. You also will bear witness. Your lives are meant to spotlight Jesus so that others can see how wonderful, how beautiful he is. I was reminded of this funny experience that people have when we wear headlamps, when we're camping or backpacking. It's like a flashlight that you put on your forehead, then you don't have to hold it. It shines everywhere you look. I was reminded of how obnoxious these things are at family camp. Because when you put a headlamp on, there's like a learning curve. You have to learn how to use this thing without offending other people. Because what you normally do is you look at people when you talk to them, but if you have a headlamp on, you're shining the light directly in their faces, and usually the reaction is something like this: oh, gosh, oh, you know, it's dark out, like, stop shining that in my face. And so you have to learn when you're wearing a headlamp to sort of look a little bit to the side or look away so that you don't offend people with the brightness of this light. I've been on some hikes where we had to share a headlamp. There was a number of us on the trail, poor planning. It got dark. We only have one headlamp. Okay, so one person's got to light the way for all three of us. So it usually works best if that person's in the back, and they illuminate the trail so that all of us can see where to go. The last thing that the person with the headlamp needs to do is take that light and shine it in our faces. We don't need to be illuminated. We need the trail to be illuminated. We need to see where we need to go. And sometimes I think we, as well-meaning Christians, we're attempting to spotlight Jesus, but what we're doing is like a person with a headlamp staring at someone in the face, and we're just blinding them. And so sometimes the response is, for among those who maybe don't believe or don't yet understand, is like, oh gosh, that's obnoxious. Like, you're blinding me. I can't even see. And so we need to learn that we've got these lights that God has given us. You know, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. He's given you a really good headlamp. But rather than shining it in people's faces, we are invited, called, commanded to shine it on Jesus. You also will bear witness. You also will spotlight Jesus. Shine your light on Jesus so that other people can see Jesus. Friends, bearing witness about Jesus is about shining our headlamps on him so that others can see how beautiful he is, how good he is. So what are you going to do this week? What opportunities do you have this week to shine the light on Jesus so that other people can begin to see just how beautiful he is, how good he is? You are a testimony to the beauty of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is also bearing witness to the beauty of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Peter 2:12. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that, though they malign you as an evildoer, they might see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Living honorably is one of the ways that we can shine the light on Jesus, so that when people see our good deeds, they go, wow, who's your God again? Why do you do that? That's pretty amazing. As Jesus says in John 13:35, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know that song, they will know we are Christians by our love? It's from this verse. This is how they will know that you are Christians, by your love for one another. One of the ways we can spotlight Jesus, one of the ways we can highlight the beauty of Jesus, is through the way that we love one another, through the way that we serve one another. As you know, Krista and I don't have children, and so we have not very much parenting advice. So anytime I talk about parenting or kids, I usually begin with something like, you know, hey, just like, I actually don't know what I'm talking about, so take this with a grain of salt, but this is what I've heard, right? And this is what I've heard, how we love one another. The most important relationship in Audrey's life and in Autumn's life and in Benjamin's life, the most important relationship in those kids' life is between Jeff and Robin, the way they love one another. That's one of the primary ways that Audrey will know that Jesus is good, Jesus is beautiful, Jesus is worthy of my love, Jesus is worth following. Friends, they will know we are Christians by our love, as we live honorably among those who do not believe. Let us spotlight Jesus. Let us shine our headlamps on Jesus so that other people can see, wow, he really is as beautiful as you say he is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are beautiful. You are amazing. You are awesome. And it is so wonderful to know and believe that. Would you help us here this morning to know and believe that, that you are good, that you're beautiful? Would you reveal yourself again and again? We need to see you again. We need to hear your voice again. We need to be reminded daily, weekly, that you are good, that you're beautiful. Holy Spirit, would you bear witness to this reality in our hearts? Would you speak to us in our hearts? And then, oh God, would you equip us to be lights, not who shine in other people's faces and blind them annoyingly, but who spotlight Jesus. Look at him. Look at Jesus. Look at what Jesus did for me. Help us to be people who shine the light on Jesus, who give the credit to Jesus. And you, Holy Spirit, you will draw all people to Jesus. Do it, Lord. Do it. For your sake, for your glory. Jesus, we love you because you're beautiful. And we worship you because you're worthy of our worship. So receive our praise, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.